May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Today's gospel reading is a very interesting one. It certainly has all the material you would need for a thrilling movie. An unnamed madman running around the tombs with insane power to even break chains and shackles, a showdown between Jesus and a legion of demons, and a dramatic appeal of the people of Gerasenes that Jesus might depart from them. It is all too easy to get totally sucked into the spectacle recounted in the Gospel of Luke. But let's take a step back and reflect what this story is all about. This passage is certainly not about how to deal with mental health issues, methods of driving out demons, or even animal protection principles. Much rather, the main point here is how individuals come to faith, and particularly how Jesus enables them to be effective witnesses of the good news of Christ. So how did this event of the dramatic healing of the man, as well as the reaction of the people, help that man and the disciples of Jesus who were present there to understand what it means to be an effective witness of Christ? It is interesting to me that Jesus shared a parable with the wider public before boarding the boat to Gerasenes. It is the parable of the sower, which I'm sure many of us are familiar with. The sower sowed his seed on different types of ground, and in turn, it produced different kinds of results. Later on, Jesus revealed to his disciples in private that the seed is a symbol for the word of God. And he helps them realize that several things can limit the work of God in one's life, especially if one is not intentional about it. For example, a shut mind that refuses to take anything in, or the person who never meditates on the word of God and in turn simply collapses when trouble comes along. Or the person who is so busy that the things of God get crowded out. In the parable, only the seed which fell on good soil with the ground that was deep and well prepared produced a crop. And Jesus said that people with that kind of good ground are good hearers. You see, good hearers listen attentively to the word of God. Then they retain what they hear, and their hearts ponder upon it. And until they discover its meaning for themselves, they think about it. And finally, perhaps most crucially, they act upon what they have learned. Now, why am I mentioning this parable, even though this is not the reading for today? I did not make a mistake. I'm just mentioning it because what happened in Gerasenes is the one-to-one application of exactly this parable. Jesus did not only help the poor man who was tormented day and night to be free and to know salvation, but he also used his life as a teaching example for his disciples. He gave his disciples a glimpse of the kind of future that was awaiting them and of the different kinds of fields they no doubt will encounter during the course of time. Now, the demon-possessed man, for example, had a heart with shallow ground. Even though we do not know how exactly he ended up in this state, we can safely say that his worries, his anxiety, and his pain had overwhelmed him, so much so that his thoughts of desperation crowded out the truth about God's care and love for him. His situation was certainly very, very sad. However, the fields for God's seed, in quote-unquote, in the hearts of the people in the society where he was living, were even worse off. Even though they were supposedly Jews themselves, a nation who had known God like no other, they were far from being good hearers who put their knowledge into action. Just think about it for a moment. For years, the demon-possessed man had lived in their midst, causing unrest. Nobody could walk the street without being attacked by him. He certainly was a real problem and danger in the society. A madman running around and scaring people, powerful and insane at the same time, ready to go to any length. And I'm quite sure that they were praying their hearts out that nobody would ever have to attend a funeral. Just imagine a madman wearing no clothes, running towards you, crying and screaming at the top of his voice while you are trying to mourn the death of a loved one. Or imagine hearing him raging and raving throughout the night as he cuts and hurts himself while you are trying to put the children to sleep. It must have been not pleasant at all, to say the least, and yet one day this man is healed. They see the man who once was the most feared man in the city, sitting there at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, completely healed. Tell me, wouldn't it be time now to burst into rejoicing and sing hallelujah? If not now, when then? But somehow they don't. In fact, they cannot do that. And here is why. They do not see the man who was won back to be a functioning member of society. All they can see is the price they seemingly had to pay for his salvation. Their swine jumped down a cliff because Jesus allowed the demons to go into the swine. And for them, the swine were certainly not their pets, but just animals which they could slaughter, sell, and make money with. So in their eyes, in order for the man to be healed, a profitable part of their business was sacrificed by Jesus. And what's even worse, Jesus did not even bother to ask for their permission. They were certainly upset, and they even feared that if Jesus stayed on to solve all the other problems in their society, they might end up having to give up even more things. Like in the parable where the seed fell on shallow, rocky ground, here too the people of Gerasenes might have accepted the word of God in general, but they were not able to meditate on it or hold on to it when trouble came along. And so the people of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave. They did not want him to be in their city. For the disciples, however, this must have been quite striking. They saw people come so close to Christ, so close to salvation and eternal life, and then suddenly turn their backs on him. Perhaps the disciples' hearts even yearned for Jesus to stay on and convince the people that they need salvation because he was so good at speaking. However, Jesus did not do that. Instead, he got ready to board his boat to go back to Galilee. In that very dramatic moment, the disciples see the healed man stop Jesus. The man begs Jesus for permission to go with him. Actually, this was not unusual at all. After all, Jesus had so many followers, and so many people just tagged along Jesus all the time. But what must have been really shocking for the disciples was to hear Jesus refuse the man's request to physically follow him. Perhaps this was even the first time they had ever heard Jesus refuse someone's request to follow him. I bet the disciples were dumbfounded. They might even have felt the urge to protest and ask, "Jesus, what difference does it make if the poor man stays on in a place where clearly nobody cares about him? Nobody was happy for him when he was healed, even though he had suffered this torment for so many years. Moreover, the people have already made up their minds about you, Jesus. If you have not noticed, they just kicked you out of their city. So why bother with people whose soil is so shallow? What difference does it make?" Now, this is actually an important question for us to ponder today, since we too live in a day and age where Christianity is only a word on a piece of paper. Nobody seems to believe in Jesus outside the walls of the church. And on top of that, most of them seem already to have made up their minds about Jesus. So what is the point of staying on and trying to convince? Well, this brings us back to the core question of today. How do people come to faith? And particularly, how does Jesus enable them to be effective witnesses of the good news of Christ? Here is how Jesus perhaps would answer this question, using the life of the demon-possessed man. People come to faith when Jesus seeks them out, not the other way around. They have some kind of encounter. It might not always be as dramatic as described in this specific passage, but the encounter will certainly be impactful for the person. And sometimes it takes more than one encounter. And then it's the person's turn to respond. Some people, like the madman, respond immediately. Others take time. And again, others choose not to take up God's offer of salvation at all, even though they are given all the time of the world. The choice is theirs. For us, this means that it is not the place of the follower of Christ to choose who gets to know Jesus and to decide how much time they are given to say yes to God. The passage today shows a wonderful example of salvation. The man was completely healed. But what is even more interesting to me is the fact that he was then called to go to the people who didn't care at all about this transformation. He was given the mission to persistently and continuously tell them what God had done for him, that even more people might taste the love of Christ. We must note here that he was not required to produce 100 converts in a year's time, for example, nor was he sent to a course to learn how to be an effective witness or missionary. All he was to do is to share his own story. You see, we can sometimes make things very complicated and think that we need some kind of special qualification or permission to help other people to know God. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus enables us to be effective witnesses of Christ just simply by telling our own personal story. We see this at home where we speak to newly made Christians, to little children, but we also see this in other places. Not necessarily somewhere in the outskirts of nowhere. Often we are called to speak up in the city where we live and in the place where everyone knows us, in our workplace, in our neighborhood. Because only there do people have firsthand information about the hopeless state we were in before knowing Jesus. This is the mission the unnamed man was given. And it is the same mission that we as followers of Christ and as church have today, to make known the gospel of Christ in the place where we live by telling everyone what God has done, not just for someone else, but personally for us. Let us thank Jesus that he sends us, and may God help us to persistently and continuously share our personal story of faith with all the people we encounter. Amen.